Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 to 13. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Words of God.
Did you catch some of the message of the men here from Minnesota Teen and Adult Challenge about love and acceptance? We all want to feel loved and accepted, don't we? Unfortunately, a lot of us have felt the opposite. Unaccepted. Rejected. Right? You're chosen last on the sports team. Or you're not chosen at all. You're not included in the group. You're not invited to the party. Or you're just plain rejected. Now, why is that? Well, you know, not always sure. There's lots of reasons, you know. You're different. You don't fit in. You're from the wrong side of the tracks. We've been going through a series on the 12 apostles, and the one today, Matthew, talks to us a lot about acceptance, accepted by Jesus. This will be our last disciple that we're talking about, and if you are keeping track, this is the ninth one. Well, what about the other three? Well, the other James, James son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, and the other Simon, Simon the Zealot. Maybe I'm wimping out, but there's not a lot of information about these three guys. So I'm like, well, so I'm going to at least mention them. Yes, I do know there were 12 apostles, but today we're going to talk about Matthew. He goes by two names, Levi, that's what he's called by Mark and Luke and John. Maybe he was from the tribe of Levi. Mostly we know him from as Matthew, right? The first book in the New Testament, that's the book he wrote, Matthew. His name means gift of God. And in the Gospel of Matthew, he calls himself a tax collector. The other Gospels give his name, but they don't give his profession. I don't know if they were just trying to be sensitive or polite, but they don't call him a tax collector. But Matthew is very aware of this whole issue, and so he talks about it. Well, how does an unacceptable tax collector become a follower of Jesus? We have the story where Jesus calls him to follow Jesus. It's in Mark. It's in Luke, but I thought we should just hear it from Matthew himself. And so the passage that Jeff read is Matthew. Let's look. First of all, we realize that he is unaccepted by man. Why is that? Because he's a tax collector. If I were telling this to my kids when they were little, my boys would ask, "Is he a good guy or a bad guy?" He's a bad guy. Why is that? Jesus sees him. Why are tax collectors so bad? Couple reasons. He's vocationally unacceptable. That is the job that he has. He's a tax collector. In the Bible, in the New Testament, there were two kinds of tax collectors, and the job sort of went to the highest bidder. One was sort of just a general tax collector. He collected three taxes: property tax, 1/10 of the grain, and 1/5 of the grapes. He collected an income tax, and he collected a poll tax. And it was pretty set. There wasn't a lot of room for extortion or wiggle room, and it was the law, and that's what you had to charge. There was another kind of tax collector, sort of a customs official. That was Matthew. Duty on imports and exports. Anywhere from 2% to 12%. And if you could collect more, good, you can keep that money. So tax collectors were often not only rich, but they were greedy. Sometimes they were violent. They could stop you along the way. They could search your person. They could search your bags, your cart, whatever. That was Matthew. His toll booth or collection place was on a good spot outside of Capernaum there on a heavily traveled road from Jerusalem to Damascus. There was a lot of travel back and forth. He also could tax. It was nearby the Sea of Galilee, so he could tax the fishermen. Most commentators think that the four apostles who were fishermen, Peter and Andrew, James and John, probably had to pay taxes to Matthew at some point along the line. So he's got the wrong job. But it doesn't stop there. He is socially unacceptable. Those closest to him, his family, placed him sort of outside of fellowship with them. His friends, nobody wanted to have a tax collector over to their home as a guest. So when you become a tax collector, you kind of say goodbye to those closest to you. You're religiously unacceptable. Leviticus 20 says you're banned from the temple. Your money is considered tainted and not accepted. We don't want you in church. You don't belong here. And maybe their conscience bothers them too. Oftentimes tax collectors were greedy and extorted people and sometimes had thugs to physically extract more taxes than were due. And your conscience sort of bothers you. And you kind of realize, wow, even before God, I'm unacceptable. And one more. You're politically unacceptable. Your testimony couldn't be in court. We don't trust you. You're a tax collector. The Jews considered you traitors. Matthew was Jewish, but you're working for the Roman government, and you're abusing your position. And so Matthew, you're unacceptable. Vocationally, socially, religiously, and politically. So imagine what that's like. You're not accepted at work, at home, at church, or in public. We don't want you. But then, Jesus comes along. Says, Matthew, I want you. Follow me. Now let's consider a little bit what that might look like or feel like. Because Matthew tells us. Sure enough, he rose and he followed him. He followed Jesus. Why did he do that? Well, it wasn't immediate, but it wasn't impulsive. Matthew was not the first apostle or disciple to be called by Jesus. Maybe he had seen some things or even heard Jesus do some things, maybe even some miracles. The four fishermen that perhaps he knew, they've joined the group. And so this was not a just sort of spontaneous decision. But it was irreversible. When he leaves, there's no shortage of greedy men that could take his place. Luke says he left everything to follow Jesus. So there was some mercy there. No one would spend time with tax collectors, but this Jesus will. I hope he doesn't call me names like other people do. Publican, sinner, traitor, swindler, cheat. No, Jesus wasn't going to do that, was he? We realize that. But apart from Christ, Matthew is kind of all on his own. But now joining Christ, promise of salvation and fellowship and protection and a place to belong. I mean, yesterday he was a companion of sinners, and today he's a disciple and an apostle. Well, let's see how, or think about a little more, what does this mean to Jesus to ask Matthew to follow him? Well, it's not the best PR move in the world, public relations. It's going to alienate some of the general public, right? And they even said that to him and about him. This man eats with tax collectors and sinners. And that wasn't, you know, meant to be a compliment, right? In Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 8, Jesus gives forgiveness and acceptance to kind of all sorts of people. A leper, a Gentile, a woman, and now where we are in Matthew 9, a tax collector. It's interesting that in the first part of verse 9, it says when people saw Matthew, they saw a tax collector. It says Jesus saw a man. That's how he viewed Matthew. If all kind of people are going to be in the church universal, then this group of apostles needs to be a little more diverse than just fishermen. It's going to need more, some diversity. But what does it mean then to the other apostles that now Matthew's joining their group? There had to be a little bit of tension there, right? You know, of course we're part of this, but now Matthew? He's a traitor. He's a cheat. And you're letting him in to be part of our intimate group here? It's interesting, in the New Testament, three specific tax collectors are mentioned, and all are loved and accepted by God. Matthew, you have that shorter guy, Zacchaeus, and in Luke 18 was the humble tax collector praying in church, and Jesus compared him to the self-righteous Pharisee who was praying in church. So he's accepted. Well, let's see how Matthew feels about this. How does he respond? He throws a party. Why is that? Well, probably a couple of different reasons. One, it's a celebration. Matthew is happy about this new life that he's found in Jesus, right? Only Jesus can change lives. Matthew says, I want to tell you about that. Now, we're not told, it says, many tax collectors and sinners came. Luke, in Luke's gospel, he says this was a great gathering. It tells us a little bit about the wealth of Matthew, of his home. There was enough space. There was enough food. Archaeologists have discovered homes in the New Testament that could easily seat up to 500 people in a garden room. Just a huge, that'd be more people than we could cram in here, obviously. So this is a big house. But part of the reason for the party is also is Matthew is saying goodbye to his fellow tax collectors. This is a public declaration. I don't know if he's, well, I guess he's burning the bridges. I'm saying goodbye. I'm no longer going to be a tax collector. I'm going to be part. Now, it wasn't judgmental, but he's just saying, I'm giving you notice. I'm leaving. And I've invited Jesus here because I want you to know the reason why I'm leaving. So that it was a witness. This was an evangelistic dinner. Well, it was a wonderful time, but not everybody thought it was a good time. The Pharisees, they didn't think this was good at all. Why is that? Why is it that there's people that God accepts that we say, well, I'm not going to accept them. I'm rejecting them. God, I've got a different standard than you do. Now, the Pharisees, they weren't guests. They wouldn't have come anyway if they were invited. But they kind of saw and heard what was going on. But they don't totally get it. Why Jesus would accept these people, right? They sort of try and go roundabout. They didn't directly confront Jesus, but they said to his disciples at least, you know, hey, why does he do that? Don't you know that's not a good thing? For you to eat with somebody that's sort of ceremonially unclean, like tax collectors and sinners, that makes you unclean. That makes your house unclean. Certainly a righteous, godly person would not have these people in their home. And certainly a righteous, godly person would not go to a party like this. It's not acceptable. Why do people today not accept other people? Yeah, I don't know. That could be a loaded question. There's probably a lot of answers to that, right? But some of the same answers as here. That we have a wrong standard of what God thinks of people. We're a bit self-righteous, or maybe there's fear or ignorance, or we have a different standard than God. Nope, they don't qualify. I will not accept that person. Cross them off the list. Our cancel culture does that, right? And believe like I do? You're out of here. We're totally dismissing you. You are not acceptable. Sometimes we have a problem accepting other people. Sometimes we even have a problem accepting ourselves. Well, why does God accept us? Our last verses. Jesus is going to give three approaches. First, sort of an argument from an analogy. He says, doctors go to sick people. Or sick people come to doctors. But that's how they get connected, because they have a need. So shouldn't the Savior go to sinners? Yeah. Now, he's not calling the Pharisees healthy. They were self-righteous, but they didn't see the need. You know, but in God's sight, we're all sick. We all need a Savior. We all need... Would you say it's hard to say, I need help? If you're self-righteous, and you don't say those kind of things. So he says, by analogy, of course, I'm going to go among the sinners. And then he says, verse 13, you know, go and learn what this means. And now he's going to quote a Bible verse. He says, go and check your Bible. And he's going to quote from Hosea 6:6. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. God, not so much interested in all the external things, the things that we can see and sort of judge and kind of. No, God's looking to give mercy and love and acceptance. And then finally, he just says that's my mission. I came to not to call the righteous, but sinners. That's my mission. That's my purpose. I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. So Jesus accepts Matthew and others and you and me. And sometimes that's a hard thing to believe and live and even accept. Let me close with one short little story here. It goes back to the year 1830, a man named George Wilson. He killed a government employee who caught him in the act of robbing the mails. He was tried and sentenced to be hanged. But then President Andrew Jackson sent him a pardon. But Wilson did a strange thing. He refused to accept the pardon. Oh boy. What do we do now? They weren't quite sure. So they sent the case to the Supreme Court. Chief Justice Marshall, perhaps one of the greatest justices ever, wrote the court's opinion. Here's what he said. Quote, "A pardon is a slip of paper, the value of which is determined by the acceptance of the person to be pardoned. If it is refused, it is no pardon. If it is rejected, we have no power in this court to force it upon him." See, God says, "I've pardoned you. I love you. I accept you. I want you. I've called you. I've chosen you." But we need to accept that, don't we? It's each one of our choices to say, "God, I will trust you in the way that you love me and accept me." If Matthew, the apostle, were here today, he'd want us all to know about how God, no matter what your past, no matter what guilt or shame or mess that you've lived through or are living through now, God loves and accepts us. Let me close this word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, that because of Jesus, his death on the cross, we are acceptable. We are accepted. We don't come in our own righteousness. That trips us up every time. But we come in your grace, in your mercy, in your love. And so help us as we live that out each day. Help us to have a sense of your acceptance. Help us to accept other people. That could be a challenge too. So Lord, empower us to be the kind of people that you want us to be, that we want to be. Thank you. We pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.